What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Johnny Mac here. Just wanted to give you a heads up that if you are looking for a community that is open to discussion as far as mentorship, conservation, the wild, becoming a better person, and all of that, there is a group for you on Facebook, and it is called Soul Seekers. Soul Seekers, we are all about making ourselves a better person. We're all about making sure hunting lasts for generations to come and encouraging people to get plugged in. Whether you are someone who has something to give or someone who needs to soak it up like a sponge, this is a community for you, and I strongly encourage you that if you're on Facebook to join Soul Seekers, and if you're not on Facebook, hop on there just for that group. It is only going to be as powerful as we all make it. And so just remember that life happens for you. It doesn't happen to you. And that you can't outgive good. You can't outgive good, people. I want you to understand that. And I want you to believe it. Because when we believe that and we lead with courage and we lead with intention, lives are changed. Lives are transformed. Just like on this podcast, Transformation Through Primal Adventure. Be blessed. Enjoy this episode. Talk soon. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. Through this podcast, I'm on a mission to transform lives through primal adventure and to spread my mission of mentorship is conservation. This podcast is powered by Washington Backcountry, a resource for all hunters, both new and old. To find out more about Washington Backcountry, go to wabackcountry.com or search for Washington Backcountry on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. The Soulful Hunter Podcast is also proudly presented by the Crazy Elk Company. Based out of the state of Washington with products made in America, they are providing solutions with gear to problems you didn't even know you had. Their tag wallet is one of those solutions, and I had the pleasure of using it on all of my hunts this last year, and it is now a mainstay in my kill kit. The tag wallet is a water-resistant zippered pouch that comes with its own reusable zip ties to safely and securely store your notch tag for quick and easy access. For more information, go to crazyelkcompany.com and use the code SOULFUL with a capital S to save 20% at checkout. Be blessed, everyone, and as always, stay soulful. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack, and today we are celebrating my good friend and now welcoming into the fold, Iron Will Weber, one of our mentees from the 2020 hunting season, and we continue to mentor him into the 2021 year. Yep. And I mean, if we could put it into words, you graduated. You not only became a hiker carrying a weapon, you became a hunter. You got your first kill, man. Congratulations.
Thanks, Johnny.
How's it feel, dude?
Dude, I'm still just taken back by the whole thing. You know, I mean, I spent last night in front of my family processing up most of the meat myself, and the whole time I was just so blessed, so grateful, and I cooked up a little bit last night, and Liam got home from kids club. He's my oldest son, and he's involved in the story, so I can't wait to get into that, but he feels semi-responsible for me getting the harvest. And
I love it.
And it was just great.
I love it.
Whole family loved it. So.
Okay, so for the people who have not heard your story or even seen mm-hmm. you on Soul Seekers, because you were on two episodes of Soul mm-hmm. Seekers, that was your very first hunt you ever went on.
It was the first hunt. It was a fall Washington State backcountry black bear hunt with you and Tony, Commander Clint, and that was my first backcountry trip ever, let alone hunting with a weapon. So that was pretty epic.
Okay, so here you are. You made the decision in what, 2019 to start hunting? 2020? You and your wife kind of have this journey going on. What is it? Tell the listeners all about it.
So me and my hunting journey started in like late January 2020. By getting connected to you through actually a mutual friend who we have, and just reached out on social media. I just decided that I wanted to hunt, I had no plans of reaching out to you directly at the time that this journey spurned. I just added you on social media and you reached out to me because our good buddy Drew was like, hey, reach out to Johnny Mack, Washington Backcountry. So I added you and you're like, you're Drew's friend. So next thing I know, we're on the phone talking to each other and I'm starting my journey in hunting. And I mean, my reason for hunting, there's several reasons why I wanted to get into it. And it's definitely changed my life, but it's part of the journey me and my wife are on. I mean, we've kind of been building a homestead here in Washington State, trying to thrive, be self-sufficient, and really not rely on anybody else for our foods, for anything.
Yeah.
We're just, she's got a green thumb. She's big into gardening. She's big into preserving food, canning food, freeze drying food, and all that. And I've always wanted to get out in the backcountry and hunt. So what better way to put meat on the table, real meat on the table than
real, organic, phenomenal, nature's best.
And you can tell the difference.
Okay. So, did you ever eat wild game a lot before?
Yeah. I have a couple uncles, and my wife Kelsey has a couple uncles who were big into hunting. So when I was younger, I had like some deer pepperoni, and then through one of her uncles, through her mom's brother, he's a big hunter over in Michigan. I've had antelope and I've had venison from him. And then I've had elk and stuff, but I wouldn't say predominantly at all. They've been like special occasion type items. So,
wow. So, you know, what's really interesting is I also got into hunting before really eating wild game.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know exactly what I was going to get into when it came to, I just knew I wanted to hunt. I wanted the skill set more than I wanted the meat.
Sure.
And ironically, now I want the meat more than anything because have you seen those prices at the grocery store?
Oh, dude, they're insane.
What a joke.
And I mean, I can honestly say that when I do actually go to the store and grace the grocery store with my presence to buy stuff, I'm calling or texting my wife and saying, are you serious? This stuff costs this much money? Or texting her a photo and saying, is it? You really want me to get this? Yeah, that's how it's been priced for a long time. And I'm just like, I'm way out of touch, man.
Man, so wild. So here you are. This is, you went end of January, you reached out. And by the way, talk about courage. Because courage, in what I like to always say is courage is the first known quality of man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that everyone has, but it has to be flexed like a muscle. It takes, you have to work it. You don't just
Absolutely.
Show up and be like, oh, I'm courageous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe some people are warriors like mm-hmm. that, but I would say the mass populace actually needs to go through the process of challenging themselves
sure.
to grow their courage.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge step for you.
Yeah, it's not easy. Courage on a daily basis is not easy. For me, it was about being vulnerable. Stepping out of my comfort zone, which takes courage to do. So that was not something I would normally do. Reach out to somebody I never met before. I do it in my everyday business, but I don't know. I guess maybe I put on a business mask when I'm at work and it's just a natural, I've been doing it for 14 years in my business now. So it's like, it's just a natural everyday.
You know, that is really interesting point that you just brought up. This is the whole idea of a mask. It's my business mask.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I can be courageous in my business because I'm doing it not for myself. I'm doing it for my business.
And now it's comfortable.
Right. But so often, like you choosing to hunt, you did it for yourself.
I did.
And how many times, and listeners, how many times in life have you actually challenged yourself to do something for yourself?
Yeah.
That took courage.
Yeah.
That's
the power in it.
That is the transformative power that hunting has.
I honestly think that's definitely the power. When you actually take the step and you use the courage to act and do something for yourself is extremely powerful.
Man, it is. Man, I'm getting all jacked right now. Let's go, baby. And by the way, all you listeners out there, you don't have to know it all to be a mentor.
No, you don't.
You just have to be willing to invest in the lives of other people. I had a comment on our YouTube channel the other day. Mm-hmm. Just it pissed me off because this is how some people in this world view life. One of the very first mentees that we ever took out on a hunt, his name was Sean. Awesome guy. Very quiet. You and him could have a silent off. like didn't say much.
In case you guys didn't know, that was my original nickname, was Silent Will. I think I said about four things on our backcountry hunt when we were out together.
I was like, oh, this guy's great company.
I've graduated a lot.
Yeah, you've grown from Silent Will to Iron Will to
you guys are my brothers,
Will.
Man. I love you guys.
I love you too, bud. So I had a comment on our YouTube channel for a deer hunt. This was probably my second ever deer hunt. Like full on, I'm going to go mule deer hunting. This was my first time ever mule deer hunting.
Okay.
And we film it because I want to film the hunts. I think it's fun. It's fun to look back on and look at the growth.
Yourself and your friends.
Right. And you put it up on YouTube because you put it up on YouTube. And I got some hater saying, wow, nothing like being mentored by a guy who's never killed a deer. And I'm like,
yeah, what is that?
Like, get out of here with that negative attitude.
Keyboard warriors, man.
You know what? I'm living. There is, you know, Master Yoda, he said, do or do not. There is no try, right?
Yeah.
And so at least I'm mentoring people. And I'm not trying to pat my own back here, but the concept is like a person leaving a comment like that.
Right.
Are you taking people out? Are you being courageous? Are you stepping out of your comfort zone?
Mentorship and inspiration go hand in hand, man. And I've even feel like over the last 2 years, I've probably inspired a handful of people to get out there and try it. Step out of their comfort zone and do stuff. And I know, I mean, I just got my first harvest, but I mean, I put in some time over the last 2 years. I went on every opportunity that was presented to me or that I made for myself. And I'm learning every time that I'm out there. And
yeah.
I'm failing every time that I'm out there. But I'm learning.
But
you win
not,
or you learn.
But you're not failing, because at the end of the day, if you measure it, and this is hunting has so many cliches, just like sports. Like, well, you know, it's never a failure if you're enjoying the process or you're learning or you have takeaways, which is true. But at the end of the day, if the goal is a take home meat and you don't take home meat,
right,
then qualifying it in that regard, you're failing. However, you have a learning process.
I like to say fail forward. Like, we fail forward in everything. It's not... failure is a thing that is... dude, it has been a hard thing for me to come to grips with in my life. Like, I seek to do everything the best. I seek to be the best at whatever I do. I put 100% effort into everything that I want to get involved in. So... not succeeding, whatever that level may be, getting a harvest, learning new things, or whatnot, you know, we come back unsuccessful, but I come back fulfilled every time that I come back.
Sweet.
Less than failure. I come back full.
I love that. I'm gonna put a little analogy on there, because what you said, failing, what, say it again?
Fail forward.
Fail forward. So when I used to coach football, I would talk to all our running backs, and there's this one running back, he loved to turn his back to the tackler. Instead of putting his shoulder down, taking his thigh pad and ripping it right through his forehead and taking a couple extra yards after the tackle. He'd give himself up. And it drives me, just as a coach and as a metaphor for life, it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Stop surrendering.
Right.
Where's the courage?
Right.
Going back to that courage aspect.
Absolutely.
And so I was like, no, every time you get tackled, you fall forward.
Mm-hmm.
Fall forward. Get an extra yard.
There
get an
go.
Extra 2 yards. Get an extra half yard. Whatever it is, reach that ball out.
Mm-hmm.
Progress. Make forward movement. And we made it to the state playoffs that year. We had two losses. This is when I coached for Ellensburg High School.
Mm-hmm.
We had two losses that – no, check it. We had three losses that year.
Okay.
Okay? We were a state playoff team. We had three losses to two teams. One was to Jake Locker in Ferndale.
Well, there you go.
And the other was to Kellen Moore and Prosser, which was in our league, and we played them twice, regular season and first round of the playoffs. Both those guys played in the NFL.
Yeah, they both went pro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was pretty fun. But the whole point is like, fall forward.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be laying on your back. Don't be a wet noodle.
Don't be a wet noodle.
Don't be a wet noodle. And that goes for life, man.
It does, absolutely.
Wet noodles, man. They're disgusting.
There's a lot of them out there.
You got to drain the water.
We do.
You got to drain the water. Drain, you got to get swamp. Rid of it. So here we go. You progressed. We yep. took you on your very first hunt.
You did.
Were you overwhelmed?
On that first hunt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I was overwhelmed by the constant amount of talking that was going on during
Dude,
that hunt.
It's horrible.
You guys are just a bunch of... No. I was overwhelmed. I didn't know any of that. It yeah. was first everything. It was first time throwing on a heavy pack, packing in camp, packing in supplies to survive for several days, packing a rifle, going into territory where there's wild animals. And I'm not talking rabbits and stuff. I mean, there's bears and cougars and... deer,
lions,
and,
tigers, and bears. Oh
man,
my!
It was comforting having three guys that, even though I didn't know them really well, even though I had spent some time with you guys before, like I felt comfortable out there with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, we talked a lot about that, making it fun for people, making sure they're going to enjoy their time. If you're going to spend time with them, take a new hunter out, or take them out for a day at the range or whatever you're going to do, whatever you do with those people, make sure that you're encouraging them and that you're making sure that they're enjoying their time, because you ruin that first experience for them, they're not going to want to do it again.
And make sure you're enjoying yourself.
That too. We learned that.
Because if you're not enjoying it, why are you doing it?
Which is why we all spent time together before, and now we're spending a lot of time together.
Yeah.
We love each other's company.
Yep. Our families have fallen in love with each other.
And they're flourishing together.
And that is the power of mentorship is conservation, because mentorship turns into community. Community gets more people involved mm-hmm. in the hunting world, mm-hmm. and that becomes big proponents, and both financially, legislative voting, all that goes yeah. into conservation of wildlife and wild things.
And, you know, don't be afraid to get out there and introduce yourself to new people. Make new friends, shake a hand, ask somebody their name. I truly believe that in life, you're only going to come across a handful of true ones. The ones who are like, they truly have your six. They would truly jump in front of something for you. And you never, excuse me, you never know when you're going to come across that person.
Amen to that. All right, so last year, 2020, was... just an absolute fire year for the Washington backcountry crew. We had just a phenomenal season.
Yeah, you did.
A lot of fun. We talked a lot about manifesting what you want.
Yep.
Dream it, think it, envision
see it,
it,
believe
see
it.
See it, speak it, make it happen.
Yep.
Coming into 2021,
mm-hmm.
you have some mentorship, and we talk about getting hunting tags and special mm-hmm. permits, and like, here's the process of what it looks like.
Yep.
Do you have a hunting partner? If you have a hunting partner, plan out your hunts together.
Right.
All this different stuff. And then what? Like, you had high hopes for this year, but in reality, this was like your first full year of I'm a hunter.
Yeah.
I'm going for it. I'm not just, well, I just learned last month and I'll give it a shot when October rolls around.
I actually, I was blessed through the 2020 hunting season, because another one of your guys' mentee, the legend,
yeah.
Douglas Payne, we've become good friends and very close. We actually spent all of 2021 hunting season together.
Mm-hmm.
We planned our bear trip together. We planned our elk trip together. We had a couple of deer hunts together. So it was, yeah, I mean... different from last year, where I really had my August hunt planned for bear with you guys, and then outside of that, I had nothing planned. I had my tags, but, dude, I didn't even know where to begin. E-scouting, what's that? I mean, all this stuff. I had no idea where I was going with stuff, so it's like I got my first hunt under my belt, and then I just played with it from there. This year, as soon as last year ended, I started planning for 2021, so I had all this extra knowledge. I was... e-scouting, I was planning my hunts, I was planning locations, we were planning dates. I mean, me and Doug had our bear trip planned in like April. It was already planned for August. So I felt a lot more comfortable. The other thing that was interesting, though, is I decided to take on archery at the start of the year as well. So what I hadn't even started doing, I ended up getting everything but my black bear tag. I ended up getting an archery tag for, and I went full archery this year. So started shooting a bow daily. I upgraded my bow this year, which is, I got to christen right away, so that was pretty.
Which we're going to get to that here pretty soon.
So it was, I had so much more knowledge going into 2021, and I felt much more comfortable. So yeah, I had really high hopes for the year, and those hopes were not shattered. It was definitely a tough year. It was a tough season for sure.
Okay. For the listeners who have experienced hunting for a long time, we know what a tough year is like.
100%.
But for somebody who's newer to hunting, what does that mean to you? What was a tough year? Because if I'm an outsider listening to you talk and I'm new to hunting, I'm like, well, yeah, every year is tough until you know what you're doing.
The thing is, I mean, you've had a tough year.
I have had a tough year.
And you're an experienced hunter. You're still new in it, but you had an extremely successful year last year. You guys did, and super proud of you guys for that and whatnot. And I don't take anything away from the guys who have been doing this for so long. Like, they'll scoff at this, but like you said, for a new hunter, it's like last year was just fun and it was just learning for me. That's all it was. Now I'm still learning, and I don't take any of that for granted. I'm constantly trying to learn something new and really fine-tune skills. But I felt much more prepared. I felt like everything was planned out well this year and where we were going. And, I mean, I didn't take anything into account last year. Weather conditions, time you're going to be on the hunt, food sources, travel, time away from home, conditions at home. Like, I didn't take anything into account last year. It was just a circus for me. It was so much fun. Mm-hmm. I was just at a carnival, man, having a good time.
Yeah. Just like taking it in, like a kid in a toy shop, just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was so overwhelming of fun that, I mean, there was really nothing bad that could happen last year.
Yeah.
And this year's been a blessing with or without the harvest I just got. But it was just like, dude, we faced, for planning it out so well, you can't tell what the weather's going to do.
Yeah.
And I just feel like every hunt we went on this year, we just got conditioned out.
Smoke from the fires in August.
Our bear hunt. We had a 5-day bear hunt plan. Knew the area real well. All that. It just happened to be the second heat wave that we got this year. So we're up at 5,600 feet, 5,700 feet. It's 97 degrees out. And the first day was beautiful. But it was hot, really hot. Berries were in. We get up to our spot. No sign of wildlife anywhere. But the berries are in, so I'm thinking the bears are coming, right? Like, this place, we saw like 8 of them last year. Totally cool. And we didn't see anything. We pack camp all the way in. Wake up the next morning, I can smell the smoke, so I know when I get out of the tent, even though it's still dark, that we're socked in by smoke. So visibility is going to be terrible. We end up packing camp back up and bailing out of there. We hike all the way back out. We're way back there. We hike all the way back out.
Do you think you
made
the right decision on that?
No. I know I did.
So, okay, so learning lesson. Lesson learned.
I learned a lesson. Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
You left early. You left early on a hunt. You never know what's going to happen.
Now, here's, you never know what's going to happen. And I'll touch on that one when you're like, do you think you made, listen, we ended up just packing out. We went like an hour down the road. Now, when I say an hour, it's not that far distance-wise, but we're on Forest Service roads, so it took forever to get to the next spot, but we weren't that far away. We were essentially could see where we were hunting from where we went, and we saw a bear when we went to the second spot. Bumped it. It was out of there. Couldn't get a shot, and then I didn't see another thing because we're up at 6,000 feet up on a ridgeline, and it's, they're just socked in by smoke, and it's hotter than hell out. So it's like we're just sitting up there baking all day.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up bailing off of that. So it's like, yes, we did see a bear. Super cool. Got it in the crosshairs, but it was running, and I was offhand, and there was no way I was going to get the shot. But looking back, it ended up cutting our hunt short. I wish that we would have stayed at the other spot because it's a beautiful location. There was other areas there that I could have gone and explored that weren't the hillside that we were hunting that I could have accessed from camp. And the camaraderie was good. The campsite was beautiful. We had water, all that stuff. Like, we should have just stuck it out and we should have just built some memories. And that was our first hunt of the year. And we did do spring turkey, but that was the first hunt of the year. And it set the tone, I feel like, for the rest of the year. As soon as we bailed, it seemed like, you know, as soon as we hit conditions, it was just we were done with hunts. Mm-hmm. We planned 4 days. We'll go out. We get, you know, elk. We got rained on torrentially. You guys were there. You came in late. We had elk camp. It torrential downpoured. We were all camped out in the tent. We did all go out, and you guys went out and got soaked. We went out and got soaked.
Smoked some grouse, though, on that hunt. But
you,
yeah, the
you
elk,
smoked some grouse.
The,
but
the elk were few and far between.
Right, there were few and far between. The conditions weren't great. It was downpouring. We're all soaked. And the camaraderie, again, though, was excellent. But it cut the hunt short. I just feel like it kind of set the tone for the year. It's like, well, it doesn't look great, so let's leave.
Well, let's talk about the cutting the hunt short, because there's a lot to be said, and if conditions aren't right, conditions aren't right. If you need to be able to see so you can glass, that is one thing.
Yeah, makes sense.
However, you're never going to see something when you're at home.
You're not.
That's 100% guarantee, right? Yeah. That's like in baseball, you miss every pitch you don't swing at.
100%.
Right? So when it comes to this idea of cutting the hunt short, why?
Why? And I don't want to adopt that mindset. I talk about it in business, right? It's attitudes, right? A really good attitude is contagious, and a really bad attitude is cancerous. And it brings the whole team down. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't want to, you know, hunting is hard. That's why they don't call it killing. It's hard. So many things, as I saw with getting this deer harvest, have to line up. It's not just, you know, oh, I just planned the spot real well, and I know there was animals because I was there last year, and I saw them, I just didn't get them. It's like so many things have to line up, timing, weather conditions, where you are at what time, food sources, wind, I mean, everything.
Well, you're also dealing with free will.
Man, free will.
And that's one of the really interesting things that I feel like people often forget, because in hunting... Now, granted, I don't have the luxury currently to go out on 10-day hunts.
Sure.
Or week-long hunts, right. even for that matter. So it's a 3-day or a 4-day hunt, unless it's in August before school starts. But a lot of times is people will say, who are experienced hunters that are like consistently killing animals, mm-hmm. is they'll be like, well, you know, you got to put in your scouting, and you got to pattern these animals and all this different stuff, and you make your own luck.
Sure.
I totally agree with that to an extent that you're also dealing with an animal that has the free will to choose a path that is to the right or to the left.
100%.
And 99 out of 100 times they could be on this one path, and then the one day that you're there, they just randomly choose the other path.
And that can happen all the time.
And so hunting really, how much do you think, if you had to put a percentage on luck being a part of hunting?
Oh, man. It's way north of 50% to me.
You think so?
I think it is. I think it's I mean, I guess
I think it's less.
I don't know, man.
See, you're still in that new stage where you're trying to figure it out, and you are figuring it out, but the thing is that if these animals, you know where they are. There's a Ryan Lampers, a stealthy hunter. He's a killer.
Absolute killer. And he patterns them.
And when I talked to him, and I had him on the podcast last, I said, all right, Ryan, how many days do you dedicate to each hunt? If you're going on a hunt, he goes, I don't go on a hunt unless I have a minimum of 7 days.
Yeah, because you spend in the first several just taking inventory and scouting.
Yes, and figuring it out.
Yeah.
Right? We're all animals of habit. We're all creatures of habit.
I guess it would totally depend on. I would redefine that statement I made. And I would say it totally depends on probably where you're at in your hunting journey or knowledge, and definitely plays into the amount of time or effort that you're putting out there.
Yeah.
If you're a Ryan Lampers who's not going for less, I watch all of his stuff. I think he's phenomenal. But he'll go for 10 days and he literally won't move on anything inside the first 4 days. He just takes inventory the whole time. Mm-hmm. He patterns them. He sees them. He knows exactly what each one looks like. Like he's just taking notes the whole time.
He's a cool dude.
So that's knowledge and power and effort and stuff. You know, for me, I'm still learning new areas, e-scouting new areas. So I pick a spot on the map. I don't know if there's animals there. I've never been there. So I go and check it out. I'm still learning, you know, wind and thermals and I'm learning so much stuff still that I feel like for me, it's like right time, right place. So I feel like there's been an amount of luck, which I do feel like my archery deer I took this last weekend was right place, right time, and a lot of things had to go right for that to line up. So I don't feel like, now granted, where I got it, I knew the deer were there, but catching them at the right time.
In a shootable location.
It was like, I feel like maybe that view is tainted a little bit, because I feel like mine was, it was practice, because I still had to make the shot and it was a bow shot and I still had certain processes I had to go through to make sure that I was, you know, made the right moves and made an ethical shot and did all this stuff. But the timing of it and just how it played out, I feel like I got lucky. Now I'm blessed.
Check this out. I'm gonna jump in here, because I actually had the exact same experience on my very first kill. Why Washington backcountry is called what it is because I was so deep into the backcountry,
sure,
killed my first animal, mm-hmm, black bear. I didn't even spot the black bear I killed.
Sure.
My hunting partners didn't spot the black bear I killed. Some random hiker screamed and was like, "Oh, there's a bear right there."
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, "What?" I didn't even think it was real. And the other guys, they couldn't get on it. They didn't see it. I saw it. And then I chased it down. I grabbed someone else's gun, two shot. Thank you, bro. Shout out to you. You're an awesome hunting partner. I chased it down to my Birkenstocks and I freaking shot this bear. And it felt phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then after I processed the animal, field dressed it, sitting back at camp, reminiscing about what just happened, I didn't feel like I actually hunted the bear.
There you go.
And I didn't feel like it was me being a hunter and being like, I think this vision of what people think, preconceived ideas, mm-hmm, of what they think hunting is like this native primal stalking,
yeah,
of an animal. Yeah. And then it's like, I tracked it. I listened for hoofbeats. I put my ear to the ground, mm-hmm, like, oh, you know, tasting the wind, you know, whatever, like jokes aside, like,
sure,
this concept of like, I'm in pursuit of an animal, whether I know it's there or not, and I can find it and then kill it.
There you go.
But at the end of the day, hunting is you putting yourself in a position.
It is.
And then you could just take a seat in the woods, and you never know what's going to walk by. Is that, sure, luck? Or is that you being in the right position?
Yeah. That's being in the right place.
So,
the right position, yeah.
So I had some feedback from my hunt after I killed that bear, and I was like, man, I don't know if I really feel like I hunted. Like, yeah, I killed the bear, but did I hunt the bear? And they're like, dude, you did everything you needed to do. That was your bear.
You were there.
I was there. I did everything I needed to be to get into the position in order to shoot the bear.
So there you are. You're just changing my whole philosophy right now, man. It's knowledge is power, man. And it's just, I don't take, like I said, it's circumstances is what makes that view the way it is. But here you are changing my perspective, because when you look at it through a different set of lenses, things look different.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at this and I looked at mine. I don't think hunting in general is mostly luck, because the guys who I draw inspiration from outside of my brothers who are next to me doing it, they put in a tremendous amount of work, and I would never want to discount what they do, because that's when I talk about like tarnishing a season or like tainting a season with the attitude of like, oh, well, you know, let's just go home. These guys don't do that. Now, maybe sometimes they do, but you see them in conditions all the time that are like, holy smokes, dude, like the stuff they're in, and they're out putting in the effort. They're sticking it out. They're staying gritty. They're getting stuff done. And, you know, that's what I'm aspiring to develop into. And it takes courage, and it takes putting yourself in uncomfortable situations, sticking things out that are not that fun,
mm-hmm.
at least at the time. You're drenched, drying clothes out in the truck, sitting in your skivvies in the tent and just hanging out.
There's a lot of times where I always come back to when talking about like having grit and mm-hmm. determination is that people go hiking for fun.
They do.
I'm saying that with a straight face, because before I was a hunter, I was a hiker.
Yeah.
And so I was literally going on the exact same trails or being in the woods
mm-hmm.
without the concept of carrying a weapon or pursuing an animal. And I was happy.
Yeah.
I was joyful. I was like, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you put a weapon in your hand and you're like, these conditions are horrible.
Right?
We can't do it. Let's go home. Like, no, dude, you're still on a camping trip.
Yeah. If you weren't there for that purpose, then you used to love doing that.
Right.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And, you know, if I applied a lot of there's so much crossover and parallel between business and, like, getting out there and hunting stuff. Like, if I applied my business mentality into all of my hunts, like, full on, it would totally change my perspective. And this is just developing now, sitting here chatting with you, because, you know, my philosophy in business and in general life, your own life, is what is the one thing you can always control? It's your effort. Mm. You have 100% control of your effort. Nobody else does. Go ahead, go home. I'm going to stay here and hunt.
Yeah.
Stick it out and do it.
And your attitude.
So... I guess the real message is get out there and work harder, guys.
Yeah, dude, don't be a silly Sally, man. Like, enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
Life is now. I wrote on my mirror. I got out of the shower because I'm a very in my head person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, I have so many conversations with myself, and then my wife is like, I don't know what you're talking about right now, because you probably had this conversation with yourself and now you're just telling me, like, you're all bringing right. me into this conversation.
I'm going to go call Silent Will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was getting pissed in the shower, but I was getting motivated, and I'm like, okay, yeah. That's where I do a lot of my thinking time.
Yeah.
And I got out, and I keep a dry erase marker on my bathroom counter.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wrote on my mirror, I am a powerful, inspiring, loving leader. It's mm-hmm. right in front of my face, so that when I'm brushing my teeth and I'm not staring at my ugly mug or my beautiful mug, depending on who's looking at it, I see what my contract is, and I get to say it to myself. I am a powerful, inspiring, loving leader.
Sure.
And then today I was like, you know what? I'm adding something to the mirror. And I pulled out the marker, and I wrote, win the day. I'm winning the day.
There you go.
I'm not, you know, I'm going to make progress. I'm going to fall forward. I'm going to fail
forward. There you
forward. Go. I'm going to, you know, my mama, shout out to Donna Mack. You're welcome. If you're hearing this, Donna, this is for you. She always said, inch by inch is a cinch. Mile by mile may take a while, but inch by inch is a cinch. The other thing that you could say is, how do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
One bite at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Win the day. Starting the small moments.
Heck yeah, John. Small get wins. After it.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Let's do it.
If you guys could only see us now. All right, Will. So talk to us about this hunt. And some people, this is not my story to tell.
Sure.
You tell it however you want.
Okay.
This is your first kill.
It is.
First kill.
Yep.
Not even like small game, right?
This is my first kill.
This is your first kill.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big moment.
It's a really big moment.
Regardless of how it happened.
100%.
How it went down. And share what you want to share. Share what you don't want to share. Or dude, don't share. Yeah, like,
but I'm not keeping anything out there. I'm not hiding nothing from nobody.
No.
Dude, this whole year, I had so many firsts this year. Like, so many firsts this year. I went full draw for the first time on a deer for my early archery season this year. I had access to some... all my deer hunts this year, I had access to private property for all of my hunts. I live on a ton of acreage, and my neighbors own hundreds of acres around me. And there's some monster bucks on that property feeding on the orchards and stuff like that. And I've seen them, not at the right time, but I've seen them. And I got them on cameras and all that stuff. But me and Doug had, we drew island tags this year on, we put in for a draw for, doe tags for the island. I had a big private farm up there that a buddy bought. He plans to do something with it eventually. And, he's like, dude, loaded with deer. There's some bucks out here. Like, you're welcome to come hunt it. You're the only one. I'm not letting anybody else hunt it, but you're welcome to come out. And, I was like, cool. So I went out and did that, and I went full draw for the first time on a deer, and I also went full draw and sent one and missed on a deer. Judged the wrong distance because it was light enough to get a range. It was first shooting light, but the deer was working its way out of the orchard, and I mean, first time doing it, so I just nerves hit and spiked right away, and I just guessed, and I put the wrong pin on it, and I sent it over its back and into the pond on the other side. So that was like, talk about first. That was a defeating moment. Now, it was a very learning moment, and I was grateful for the opportunity. But it's like that first one, you know? It's just like, man, the opportunity was there. I went through the nerves. I channeled. I felt like I did everything right. All I did was just roasted an expensive arrow, and it's gone, and the deer ran out of my life, right? So me personally, I couldn't help but just feel a little bit like, oh, man. Hope that wasn't the only opportunity that I was going to get this year, you know? The opportunities, what you make of it. So the island hunt kind of expired, and it was tough getting out there. We went out 3 or 4 times, and it's just tough to make a trip out there. Ferry rides and stuff. So I put most of my eggs this year into my bear hunt and my elk hunt, because I love hunting bear, and I'm fascinated with elk, man. I want to hear one rip a bugle in the dude, I so badly want to. First year calling elk and doing all that stuff. So I mean, a lot of firsts this year for me. Skinned my first coyote.
Yeah.
This year, which people will get to see. I didn't shoot it, but I got a learning opportunity to skin in a coyote. You roasted that thing, so.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what hunt it is.
It was an opportunity to learn.
Yeah, that's right.
We weren't even together. We were on the hunt together, but we were split up at the time in 2 different locations. And when I came back, you had it. And you're like, what a great, you're ready to get your hands dirty. Like, great opportunity. So I got to skin my first animal, which paid dividends this last weekend, even though it was much smaller and different, but it principles applied. So It was fantastic. I had permission to hunt the acreage around me, for one of those bucks. Now granted, in that unit, keep in mind it's any deer. So doe, buck, doesn't matter. And I had, a blind set up, and I had camera set up, and I had a couple of decent bucks on my camera. Not the monster one. He was on earlier in the season, and I never saw him. But So yeah, I was all jacked up for late season archery, man. I had my blind, deer are popping up on the camera, like they're clearly running through this channel where I saw some beds and some sign and stuff, and I'm like, sweet. So I go out there, it's like second day into late season archery. I go out super early in the morning, all suited up, dressed up. Keep in mind that I hurt my back like several weeks ago. So like I hadn't been firing my bow. And I had been shooting it a bunch before that and got it all dialed, but I hadn't even drawn my bow in a little bit. And but I was feeling good, so I like got up super early, went out there, walked all the way back there. My blind's gone. Just gone. And I'm like, what the hell, man? I don't know if it blew away in the wind or if somebody went back there and took it. I don't know. It's private property, so I don't know what happened. So that was just like another conditioned out, just like wind took my blind away.
What else can happen? Like an Eeyore moment.
Right? So I was talking with you and I was like, well, I mean, I can tuck back in here and I could sit back here, but it's raining. It's windy. It's cold. My back's kind of sore. Like
easy to come up with excuses.
Home's right there.
Uh-huh.
Right? Home's walking. It's right there. And, so I didn't sit out there. I turned my focus. I felt blessed for the year. I had a great time. Actually had an elk hunt planned, a late season elk archery, which I have a tag for. My buddy Doug's got a cow tag for that. And we were supposed to be hunting this last weekend. But he's been super busy with work and travel schedule and whatnot that I don't know if he's going to get down for it or not, but our hunt didn't pan out. I have some other business ventures and some things I'm working on that I poured my attention to Friday evening and Saturday, this last Friday evening and Saturday. So I was down doing some remodeling on my in-law's place, and we have a pretty big property, and we got chickens we raise, meat chickens and egg layers and all that stuff. And this time of year in Washington with the rain, things get pretty muddy. So we lay wood chips and stuff. Well, I had a guy drop wood chips. We have a chip company come and drop wood chips at our house. I was gone Friday evening. My wife was gone Friday evening. This guy comes, he dumps them, and he's blocking half of my driveway. And just did a terrible job dumping these chips. So I stay down at my in-laws. My wife's back home. My son's down there with me, Liam, my 7-year-old. He's down there hanging out with me. I'm doing some work, remodeling some stuff. And I'm texting with my wife, and she goes, I was going to get the tractor from Nick next door. The wood chips are blocking the gate. Like, I don't even know if you can pull in and stuff. And I was like, no big deal. I'm going to work hard down here. I'll be home before dark. This is Saturday. I'll be home before dark. So the wood chips was like event number one that happened that transpired into me being there when I did for the purpose. That's why I said I'm going to get done and wrap up early and I'll be home before dark.
Mm.
So I put a push on to get the work done so I could leave with enough time to get our drive and get back north, deal with that. I'm driving home. I pull down my road and I'm pulling into my neighbor driveway because I'm gonna borrow his tractor and move the wood chips. And my son says to me, Dad, there's deer out there. And I go, where? And he goes, they're out in the field. And I go, no way. So I hop out of my truck. Liam stays in and I start walking down. And there's three big doe standing down in the property I have access to. Just feeding away on grass, whatever. So I call my neighbor, and I say to him, hey. Which he'd already given me permission to hunt. He'd helped me set up cameras and different things. Like, he's, like, all about it. He gave me permission, but I called him and said, hey, are you in the family home? There's deer down there. I just want to cross all my T's and dot all my I's here. And he's like, no, we're down at a relative's house. Have at her. So I go into, like, I can't believe this is happening and unraveling in front of me. I'm like, I've seen these deer always, like, early in the morning, in the headlights. It's not going to be, I'm never going to catch them in the daylight. So Liam gets out with me, goes back to, we go to the house, and he, I suit up, man. I grab my bow, put on my release, throw on a camo sweatshirt, head back over there. I watch him for a couple of minutes, and I stake in position. I figure out my play. I figure out where they're feeding towards, what direction they're going, where do I need to get to so that I can have the best opportunity of getting a clean line and a clean vision and a good shot, right distance, all that stuff. So I get positioned kind of at the top of a hill, and the biggest of the three starts feeding towards me. So at this point, the deer's at about 26 yards or so. I throw a range on it just to confirm, 26 yards. Staring right at me, but it's not concerned at all. So I'm kind of shadowed by some stuff, and I go full draw.
Yes.
And it can't see me right now because I stepped behind something to go full draw, and I'm like, all I got to do is like take a step or two to my right, and as long as it didn't spook, it's gonna be right there. Sure enough, take two steps to the right, and it's just right there. Perfect broadside. Just staring right at me, though. And I remembered something that you told me. Don't look it in the eyes, man. Don't look it in the eyes. So at this time, I'm like, don't look it in the eyes, man. Just focus your pins. Contrary to the first time I went full draw on a deer, it was like ice through my veins, dude. I was locked in. I was like, I couldn't believe the opportunity was in front of me. Full draw. I go out. I take extra time making sure I'm good. Pop the release. Send the arrow. And spined it right away. Dropped it right away. And I was like, I knew it. And I was like, I just knew it that time. Oh, my God. I got it. No way. Now my nerves go haywire and spike, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. I went over. I had obviously spined it. It wasn't going to be a real quick thing. So once I settled down, I put another one through the heart and finished it. And then just literally dropped my bow and was just like, I can't believe that this just happened.
Yeah.
My family's right there to come experience it with me. My son spotted the deer, so he feels like I helped with that, Dad.
Yep.
And he did. He's right. I did not see the deer. I was just going to go about my business. I wasn't even thinking it.
So cool. Now you're going to always keep your head on a swivel. You're going to be like, where, dude, my wife, when I drive, she's like, keep your eyes on the road. I'm just constantly scanning, just like animal, animal.
But you, it comes alive once you start to pick that stuff up, man.
Yeah.
I'll be driving too and notice something. I'm like, there's deer. My wife's like, how'd you see those?
Dude, congratulations.
I'm so stoked, man.
What was it like putting your hand on your animal?
It was really, really like the nerves kind of came over me. And honestly, I've been speechless in my house for a few days. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was just, I'd never experienced that. I hadn't even been around somebody who killed an animal. Not like that. I've been able to enjoy some fresh meat and stuff, but I have not been upon a hunted animal like that. So it's just like when it took its last breath and it was like, I knew it was clean and everything was done right and the practice that I put in paid off and controlling my nerves and going through my motions paid off. I honestly felt really relieved. I just felt relieved. Like I had this own weight on my shoulder or something of, am I doing enough? Am I putting enough effort in here? Am I? And it's hard when you hear that story, probably be like you talked about with yours, where it's like, well, it's just right place, right time. Like, I wasn't out there intentionally hunting. I just had access to hunt that, and I have a tag and it's legal and everything. So I just, but when it happened, I just zoned in and I was ready. I was clearly ready.
Mm-hmm.
And just so grateful for that it happened. Fresh meat in the freezer. Memories of a lifetime. So,
do you think you changed? Like, do you think you transformed? Because we always talk about hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure. Do you think something in you transformed when that arrow hit that deer and you saw it drop?
Yeah, I felt it. It's hard to describe, but I felt something come over me that was just like, I don't even know what the word is to describe it. But when I got it back to my house and I had to start the processing and do all that stuff, it was similar to like when I got to skin that coyote. It was like a major milestone and like, am I really a hunter?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking putting a round or an arrow through an animal. It's not what I mean by it. I mean, there's so much that goes into it. There's so much that has to happen after the kill.
Mm-hmm.
To be a hunter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a great way of putting it. There's to be a hunter, there's so much more than just squeezing the trigger or
so much
sending
more.
The arrow.
And it's before and it's after. And until you check those boxes, like there's the whole, can I kill an animal? I want to eat the meat. I want to enjoy that. I want the freshest. I want to be sustainable like that. Can you kill an animal?
Mm-hmm.
And when I did that, I was like, wow.
Goes back to the courage thing, right? It took courage for you to reach out to me.
100%.
It took courage for you to say, okay, I'm going to try something new. I'm probably not going to be good at it.
Right.
For a while.
And that was the, you know, that was one of the craziest things on our hunt together. Is, like, my wife always asked me, she's like, why were you so quiet on your hunt with them? And I'm like, listen, I joke that it's like because they just talk a lot and stuff, which they do, but we all do now, so it's not that big of a deal. Like, we all do now, even I do, so it's that wasn't a big deal. It was just that I was in such a new environment, and this isn't like an ego thing or anything, because when you don't step out of your comfort zone, you put yourself in comfortable positions all the time, which is easy to thrive in. Everything I'd always put myself in, I was definitely not the bottom of the barrel. Maybe character-wise and everything, I wasn't bottom of the barrel in that group. We were all up there, but it was like from knowledge and like where we stood, I knew the least amount of everybody who was out there. And that was a really new space for me to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Really new. And it's still that way. But I feel like I've come such a long way in 2 years. And that's a testament to the effort and the vulnerability and being courageous and stepping out and trying new things. That's how you grow. And I've grown exponentially this year.
Yeah.
This last year.
When it comes to hunting, what do you want?
It's what you always ask, right?
Yeah. What do you want? Wait, okay, how about this? When you said, I want to become a hunter, what did you want?
I wanted to change my life.
Okay.
And changing my life through, for me, it was, I mean, there's the aspect of wanting to provide for my family and be sustainable and stuff like that. That goes without saying. But for me personally, I wanted to connect with an inner piece of myself that I know is there, but I haven't taken the steps to do. I have become a courageous person since I reached out to you and I started hunting, and hunting provided me that. You have to be, it doesn't matter if I reach out to Johnny Mac. To hunt, you have to be courageous.
Mm-hmm.
So then, in turn, reaching out to you and being vulnerable and being like, man, I'm going to go meet these new guys and I'm definitely not going to know anything. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to like them. That took courage. And then I have carried that for 2 years now with me in everything that I do. Hey, dude, do you want to go try this? Heck yeah, I do. Never done it before. Let's go do it. I'm going to be super uncomfortable. Hey, dude, you want to record a podcast? Never been a big fan of being in front of a bunch of people. Sure, let's do it. being vulnerable, being courageous. Hunting gave me the power to connect with a side of me, or even build a side of me that I wanted to build, that I think provides so many more opportunities for me in life.
Because your son was with you on this hunt, and hunting for you, by the way, if you guys want to see Liam, he's actually on episode 4 of Soul Seekers.
He is. He's a stud. He's my little mini-me.
Has hunting bonded you and your son more?
He went through hunter safety this year, online version, and he can get tags. He's a licensed hunter now, and he loves it. He got right in there with me. He's not scared of it. He got in on the processing. He watched the whole thing. He's like, for the last 2 years, he's been creating his own little paper animals and drawing them, and he goes out and he creates these entire staged sanctions out in the yard, dude, and he puts the animal somewhere and he builds blinds and bunkers out of bushes and stuff, and he smokes them and he cooks them on his grill.
That's awesome.
He loves it.
It reminds me of, you ever seen the movie Half-Baked?
Oh, yeah.
You know where they're going through the different types of smokers,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, then there's the dad in the room next door smoking a bowl, trying to figure out how he can bond with his son while his yeah. son's in the other room
yeah.
smoking a joint, being like, oh, my dad, you know? Hunting is that.
It is.
It is the bond. It is the glue of society because it's primal. It is in the soul
mm-hmm.
of humanity.
It is.
It's just a matter of whether or not humanity wants to acknowledge it or open the door to it.
Correct.
Man, powerful.
It is powerful.
Powerful. Let's go. Freedom. All right, everybody. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. You are going to hear a lot more from Iron Will, the man. He's not going to be so silent. You're going to hear Wise Will come on the podcast a whole lot more. I've invited him on for 2022 to be more of a recurring guest and even a co-host and even what is it when someone, like, let's say, goes on vacation, they need someone to fill in.
Like a guest host.
Yeah, so you might even hear Will guest host this podcast a little bit more, because if you don't know by now, Will is a soulful dude, and this is a Soulful Hunter podcast, which means it's time to transform lives through primal adventure.
We're going
to
do it together.
That's right, baby. More, less is more, but more is more, and more is awesome, and America is awesome, and that means it's time to freedom on, and as always, everybody,
stay soulful.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love it if you could go ahead and give this a rating as well as subscribe. Also, you can check us out on Instagram under the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Make sure to tag us in pictures and posts and use the hashtag Soulful Hunter. To find out more about the Soulful Hunter Podcast, go to soulfulhunter.com and be sure to follow the podcast, as we are going to be bringing you a lot of great information, insight, and changing lives through primal adventure. I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Stay tuned and stay soulful.